Hi there, my name's Johnny Crockett from Survival School. Today I'm here at Escott Park with two friends of mine.
Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I live in Devon. I'm 12.
Right, guys, you wanted to ask me a few questions about being out in the countryside. What would you like to ask me?
How would you cope if you were on holiday and you got lost in the woods?
Tricky one. Can be a very frightening experience, but what you need to do, if it's during the day, you need to be able to locate where the sun is. And if you've got a watch, point the hour hand at the sun, and then you take the angle between the hour hand and 12, split that down the middle, and that'll point you either north or south. The best thing you can do is to head downhill. Water goes downhill, so if you follow water downhill, then a little tiny trickle will lead into a stream, and the stream will lead into a river, and along rivers, that's where people live, so you can at least get yourself to civilization again.
If you were trapped there overnight, how would you provide, like, food for yourself in a bed?
You can go without food for 3 weeks, believe it or not, but you can't go for any more than 3 days without drinking. So water and heat and shelter are going to be your main priorities. For shelter, you need to get as many leaves as possible and create a little shelter for yourself and cover it over with leaves, lie on lots of leaves, anything to keep you off the damp ground. And for fire, you're looking at rubbing two sticks together, and you need to get the right sort of sticks, and that's where you really need to learn your trees. If you can identify the ones you need, like willow or birch, then that'd be absolutely fantastic. With regards to your water, if you've got no way of filtering it, then you need to try and find things like moss, maybe charcoal from your fire, and try and sieve the water through that, and that'll help purify it. So guys, just here on the right-hand side, we've got a number of different things that we can start eating. We've got these thistles here. You can actually eat all of it. You'd need to boil the main part of the thistle just to make the prickles go soft. But it's the roots which are really good. You get big, long roots called tap roots, and they can be anything up to about a foot or so long. And you just use them like carrots or parsnips. Now we've got this one here. Yeah, that's dropwort hemlock. And that's very poisonous, so you don't want to be playing around with that. So you've got to know which plants you're looking for. The thing to do, just learn five. Just five plants that you know you're going to be able to identify every single time and get it right. And if you can do that, then the next time you go out, you learn one more, and then one more, and one more. And then by the end of the year, you've got 55 rather than just the five. Here we go, nettles as well. You can make tea out of the tips of the nettles, and with the rest of it, you can make nettle soup. But you can also make string. If you take the inner bits of the stalk, then you can make it into tiny little fibres. And in fact, during the Second World War, German army uniforms, a lot of them were made of nettle fibres.
Where's the most barren sort of landscape you've taught on?
The Sahara Desert. There was absolutely nothing but sand and rock. Although, having said that, there was lots to eat there, because there were scorpions, there were lizards, there were snakes, huge spiders, as big as your hand and bigger. But it was the water that was the problem. But at least we could rig up some shelters using the rocks. You pile the rocks up in a sort of a dry stone wall effect, and then you can put a bit of sort of clothing or sheeting over the top. That affords you a little bit of shade. But the Sahara Desert's got to be one of the most difficult environments to live in. It's a nightmare.
How did you cope with the heat in the Sahara Desert?
What you got to do is you got to try and get out of the sun. You got to try and drink as much water as you physically can.
What do you do if you can't find any supply of water?
There's always water around somewhere. It's just a question of how you go about finding it. So, if you're anywhere near an old dried up river, then go to the outside of a bend in the river and start digging down. And if you've got green plants, that's a really good sign that there's water somewhere. You might have to dig down where the roots are to try and squeeze the last few drops of moisture out of the soil. Or you could maybe put a plastic bag over the top of the plant, and what happens is that the plant soaks up all the moisture from the ground through the roots, and it does something called transpiration. It gets rid of all the water through its leaves. And if you put a plastic bag over the leaves, then you can catch all that moisture in the bag.
If you had to eat things like scorpions and stuff, how would you get the poison out?
With scorpions, cut off the tail, because that's where the venom sacs are. And with snakes, generally speaking, you're looking at cutting the head plus 2 inches behind the head. If you cut that off and discard it, then the rest is pretty good to eat. And snake is delicious. It is fantastic. You don't believe me, do you?
What's your favourite snake?
Bit of python.
Have you ever been bitten by anything poisonous?
The most poisonous thing I've been bitten by is an adder, and that was in this country. And it happened not too far away from here. I was bitten on the index finger of my left hand, and my hand swelled up to twice the size and went black, and I had tingling feeling in my wrists and my elbow and my shoulder. I felt a bit sick, and after about 4 hours of ice and things on it, then I was fine again after that.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Ants. Ants are nice. Ant larvae is really nice. It tastes like prawns.
Talking about ice, if you're in the Arctic, how do you survive if, say, your ice is broken and you're in the water?
If you get into ice, she's cracking, and you go through and you go into the water, keep yourself flat so that you're putting your weight over a bigger surface area, and then roll in the snow. And snow actually absorbs water. Get as much water off you as possible, but the thing you've got to do then is get out of your wet clothes and into dry stuff as quickly as possible. And then once you're in your dry clothes, you've got to try and get your body temperature back up. And the best thing to do for that is to have sort of hot sweet tea. A lot of this survival and bushcraft stuff is all about being prepared and getting the right kit. So John, you've brought us now to a lovely bit of willow here. You can use the inner bark for two things. One, you can make it into cordage, so you can make rope, so you can start lashing warpways and things together. The other thing is it's full of something called salicylic acid. Do you know what that is?
Nope.
Well, salicylic acid is aspirin. So if you've got a really bad headache, you go and find a willow tree. Scrape off the outer bark, and you want about a centimetre by a centimetre for an adult. So half of that probably for a child. There we go. It's the light green stuff.
Thank you very much for your time today. It's been very interesting, and I can say I'm not trying aspirin again.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Hello, radio children. I have 6 children and many more to come. Yes.
And who are you?
This evening.